This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 12. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 12.
2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 12 reads this way. It says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and have sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, Lord, calling upon you to bless us, Lord. Not that we deserve it, but for your holiness and for your righteousness and for your work to be done in our hearts and our lives, that your name might be highly exalted and lifted up and glorified, and that we would see your will taking place in our lives and, Lord, souls being saved. So, Lord, may we be completely yielded into your hands, and may you do with us as you wish and as you will. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply "The Right Steps of Repentance for Revival." The Right Steps of Repentance for Revival. And this has to be something that you desire. It can't be something that's forced on you. It's something that God asks us to call upon him, and we'll see that here in just a moment. And so God is wanting to do a work in the life of every willing believer, and that's the key right there. We have to be willing in that. So as we consider the thoughts here this morning, we're going to look here at a prayer heard and a chosen place, and then also a national judgment, and then we'll see the prescription for healing and restoration, and then we'll notice the Lord's focus. But as we get started here, just want us to realize that God is not calling upon us to do more, but that he might make us more for the honor and glory of the Lord. Did you get that? God is not asking us to do more for him, but he is wanting us to be in a place where he can make us to be more for God's honor and glory. See, it's not our righteousness, it's not our holiness that does anything. It's God's that he's given to us. And so he's asking us to say, "Lord, be more in my life." Amen? And if we're more for the glory of God, if he's the one that's doing that work, then our lives are going to be changed. Amen? One of the indicators of that is going to be he's going to sanctify us. And how does that happen? Well, he's going to give us a desire to call upon him. So let me just start off like this. Let me ask you, is God worthy of our time in prayer? Amen. Amen. How often should that take place? It should be every day at least, right? And I'm not going to ask you to set a time on there, but if he's worthy of our prayer, and here's one thing that I've found out, and I will tell you a lot of the earlier church members years ago, hundreds of years ago, they realized that if they didn't give God the first part of the day, and this was before technology, amen? This is still in the horse and buggy. We're talking about the 1500s and 1600s, where they didn't have all the distractions that we have today. If they didn't give God the first part of the day, chances were pretty good that the world at that time would be pulling at them where they wouldn't give God any time. Amen. And so that's still the case today. In fact, we have a whole lot of information in our day and age, wouldn't you say? All kinds of resources for information, but not a whole lot of transformation for the glory of God. And so we can get all involved and we can know all about this, that, and the other and miss the work that God is wanting to do amongst his people. So here's the question this morning. Do you want God to do anything with your life? Amen. Do you want God to glorify himself in your life? So he's called us to call upon him and he would answer. Is that the truth? Amen. He says, "If you call on me, I'll answer you." And I would dare say, listen, may we not come from the perspective or from the place that, well, you know, I'm looking for a feeling, I'm looking for an experience when I pray, or I'm looking for a specific answer that I have in my a need in my life that I want God to answer. That's going to short sell the Lord there, all right? So God is wanting to change us, and he is worthy of our attention. And if we'll just, by obedience, he's called us to pray, has he not? He says, "My house is a house of prayer." He says, don't make it a den of thieves. He told that to the Pharisees and the money exchangers. He says, my house should be called a house of prayer. And we'll see here where the Lord has moved that now. But God wants us to call upon him, and that sometimes we need to labor in prayer. But we ought to give God the first part of the day, and we'll see that here in just a moment. That's important so that the day doesn't get away on us, to call upon him. And you set that between you and the Lord, whatever time frame. But may we labor in prayer asking God, when we really want something, we will call upon the Lord. But the best part of it, listen, is not just that we want something from the Lord, but his presence is worth it, isn't it? His love and all that he is worthy of our calling upon him. Hold your place right here just for a moment, and let me just show you something here concerning the Levitical priesthood and the altar and also what prayer really is all about today. Let me invite you over to the book of Leviticus chapter 6 verse 12, and I want you to see something here, because God is doing a work in the life of the believers back in the Old Testament, and he's also doing a work in the life of New Testament believers today as well. By the way, you and I are called a royal priesthood in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says that we are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. So we have a responsibility as well that is critically important to the glory of God, and we'll see that here in just a moment. So if you're in Leviticus chapter 6, let me call you down there to verse 12, and I want you to see something here in chapter 6, verse 12. It says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. Notice this, and the priest shall burn wood on it every what? Every morning. They started out by making sure that that fire was still going from the night before that it was going. Now, that was their responsibility. That was the priesthood, right, in the Old Testament. You and I in the New Testament are the royal priesthood. Our prayers is the wood, amen? We're putting wood on the fire by our prayers, and we'll see what happens here in just a moment. But notice this here. And he says, put it on there every morning, verse 12 again, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat and the peace offerings. Listen to this. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. So how important was it for the priest to keep the fire on the altar? God didn't want it to ever go out. And if our prayers have gone out, maybe that's why the altar is barren. Maybe that's why there's nothing happening on the altar. But we have to be willing to do something with the Lord. Amen. We have to be willing to examine our own lives. Listen, I can't talk you into anything. In fact, I want you to know I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I'm just going to preach the word of God. And if you want what God is saying, that's between you and the Lord. Here's one thing I know. I want more from the Lord of his will in my life, of his love. Amen. And the transforming power that he wants and has promised to every believer. I want everything that God has promised in my life. And so the question is that what you want as well? And if it is, God's going to show us exactly how that takes place. So now the wood is on the altar, the sacrifice is on the altar. And by the way, the Bible also tells us in the book of Romans chapter 1 that we're to present ourselves, amen, chapter 12, we're to present ourselves a living sacrifice. But we're also the priest, amen, that's to offer up the wood on there as well to get that, for the Lord to bless. And notice how it happens here. Go over to chapter 9 in the book of Leviticus just for a moment, just a couple pages over. Leviticus chapter 9, and I want you to see where the fire comes from. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24. Notice this, and there came fire out from before who? 9:24, from before the Lord. The Lord is the one that lights that fire, amen? He's the one that puts that fire on there, and the wood offering was to keep, not the offering, but the responsibility of placing the wood on the altar was there to keep that fire going, so when the sacrifice was placed on it, God would answer by fire. You remember what Elijah did with the false prophets? Remember when he said, soak the offering there, and the God that answers by what? By fire. Try that again. The God that answers by what? By fire, right? He shall be the God. And by the way, listen, we want the Lord to be God in our life, but if there's no wood on the fire, amen, and if there's no sacrifice on the fire, what are we offering the Lord to bless? And he wants to bless. There's no doubt about that. So let's keep that thought in our mind. So again, he is the one that answers by fire. And it says, verse 24, and there came a fire from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar. the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Were they excited about what God was doing? Absolutely, they were excited. Listen, can we get excited about what God wants to do in our lives? And absolutely we can. And so keep that thought in mind as we consider our text. And let me back you up here a little bit and remind you, go back to our text here. And so what we have here is the priesthood was responsible to put the wood on the fire. And by the way, in the New Testament, the wood is a picture of our prayers on the altar. And we also want to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, and the Lord will give the fire, and that's a picture of the Holy Spirit, is it not? What happened on the day of Pentecost? There were cloven tongues of fire, right, that came down and blessed the people of the Lord. All right, so let's look back in our text in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and that's just a little introduction just to set down the order of things in which direction that we're going into, that we might be blessed of the Lord. So let's notice here this prayer that's heard and a chosen place that God has called. Notice what he says here in verse 12. He says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night." So he was probably caught up in prayer and said unto him, "I have heard thy what? Thy prayer," right? So he's praying in the evening. That's not a bad time to pray either. "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." Well, what has God chosen today? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" That's what God has called you and I. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." So the temple of the Lord is important. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. If you want to write that down and look at it later, by all means. And again, God has called you and I in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, a royal priesthood. So this is important for you and I to understand, because God has given to us a privilege, but a responsibility as well, to tend to the altar of God. I hope all of us have an altar at home where we seek the Lord for as we call upon him in prayer, as we seek him for the needs that we have, and we a place that we worship him at home. See, worship goes beyond Sunday, amen? Worship with the Lord ought to be an everyday thing, and we'll look at that here in just a moment as well. So now we find here God hearing prayer, and he has a chosen place, and by the way, that's you and I today. So you take the temple of God with you everywhere that you go, and you have the opportunity to put the wood on the altar as well, and that God would answer by fire in our lives as well for his honor and glory. Notice verse 13 here, we find a national judgment. He says, if I shut up heaven, this is the Lord, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command that the locusts to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence among my people. So he's saying this is a judgment of God. Now, I would dare say, listen, we do function in life today quite well, but I would dare say, look at all the wickedness that's gone on. I would dare say there's a judgment falling on America today. And if we're not careful, listen, just because we have a little bit of a reprieve here, just because things aren't getting flipped upside down, when I say reprieve, at least we're not locked up and shut up in our houses like we did during COVID. But listen, there are problems still in our society today, because look at all the wickedness that is running rampant. And where are we as God's people to call upon the Lord that he might heal our land? Would you dare say that America needs the healing hand of God Almighty in our lives today? Amen. Would you say that? All right, now here's a question. Don't misread this. I'm just reminding all of us, me too, all right? Where are we at as God's people? Amen? Because that's what God is waiting upon. He's saying, listen now, if a pestilence comes, if a judgment comes, if hardships come, if difficulties come, if things aren't right the way that they should be in your society, in your civilization, as a people of God, he says there is a prescription, amen? There is a way to engage the Lord that he would work in our lives if we want it. And that's the whole key, if we want it. So we can look to the politicians. Do they really have the answers we're looking for? Not a bit. Not a bit. Listen, we can look to the stock market. Does it really have the answers that we're looking for? Does anything in this world really have the answers that we're looking for? And the answer, of course, is not, because those are temporal things. What we need is eternal help, amen, that can only come from God himself. So the question is, do we really want the Lord? And if we want him, he says, you will find me. He says, if you seek me, you're going to find me. And here is the prescription for healing and restoration found right here in verse 14. So notice who he's calling to. The first thing he says, if my people, he didn't say if the government, right? He didn't say if political leaders, did he? He didn't even say if the president, did he? He said, if my people, are you and I God's people? Absolutely. So that's who he's talking to this morning, right? He's saying, if my people shall do what? If my people, which are called by my name, are we the people of God called by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely. And this is the same God back then as he is today. He has never changed. He's never gone anywhere. So his answers will still work. So he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall pray, do many wonderful works, shall commit themselves to working harder. What's the first prescription? What's the first ingredient of that prescription? Humble. Listen. Verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Do you know what that's saying? Lord, I need you. Listen, humility says, I don't have what I need. Humility says, I have to ask somebody else for it. That requires us to come off of our high horse, if you will. That requires us to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I don't have what it takes. Now, if we're looking for somebody else to fix the problems, we will never humble ourselves. As long as we're pointing a finger this way, will we ever get the help of God? If this would happen, if that would take place, if we only had this, if we only had that, oh my goodness, how good we would be. And that's leaving the Lord out, and it's neglecting the idea that we desperately need to approach the Lord for ourselves. So it's not somebody else, it's me. I can't do it for you and you can't do it for me, but it's me calling upon the Lord. See, you're not going to get that out of a history book. You'll get it out of God's word, but then we have to be willing to comply by faith, right? That means I believe the word of God that if I call upon him, he's going to promise and he's going to perform what he has promised. Amen? All right, so notice this in verse 14. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, the first thing is, shall humble themselves. What's the second most important thing there? And pray. Did you see that? Look at the order. God has laid it out there. This is the recipe for true repentance and revival. Repentance is saying, Lord, I have neglected the altar. Amen? Amen. Then you pray probably an hour, 2 hours every day. Amen? We should be. Whoever said that, we should be. But here it is. Listen. And by the way, let me put it to you this way, and we're not going to set a time on there. Is it that we pray so much that we don't need to pray more? All right, so that's the true answer. And again, I'm not trying to get you to put a time frame on there, but just to call upon the Lord for whatever time frame, more than what we're doing now. That's what he's asking us here. So he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Right? So it requires us to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, Lord, do a work in my heart, in my life. Change me for your honor and glory. God is not asking us to do more for him. We can appease ourselves. Listen, the Pharisees were all happy about what they were doing for God. They were doing so much for the Lord that they missed him. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. We won't have any personal relationship with the Lord. We'll have one that says, oh, well, listen, Lord, I'm not like this publican over here. I fast so many times in the week and I pray so many times a day. Oh, I'm so wonderful. And what did the Lord say? He went away empty. The one that was pounding on his chest and asking for the mercy of God was the one that went away blessed. You know why? Because he saw that, listen, the Lord was giving that to all of his disciples, including you and I, as the understanding and the wisdom for what you and I need. So he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and what else? Seek my face. He says, listen, it begins with humility. It begins and it continues with calling upon the Lord. And how do we call upon the Lord? Well, we pray, but what are we praying for? That we might see the face of God. That we might have his leadership, that he might mold our heart to his life. When we see the face of God, what do you think? When we really see the face of God, do you think there'll be any pride in the presence of the Lord? Do you think it'll be, Lord, I got some plans for you, Lord. Listen, this is how to operate your church. Here's how to run things. Here's how you want to run my life, Lord. Here's how I think everybody's life ought to be. You think anybody's going to stand, if they were standing in the presence of the Lord, that they were going to give the Lord a list of what to do? And by the way, every time the disciples gave a list to the Lord of what to do, were they right or were they wrong? They were always wrong, weren't they? They thought, didn't they? Well, I thought this, and I thought, listen, after all, and God does things that are outside of our thinking, and that requires us to be humble before the Lord so that we might hear what he has to say. You remember the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration? Lord, it's good for us to be here, and it was, but then they got this grandiose idea, we're going to make some tabernacles here so we can just camp out here, and God the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. What did he say? Hear him. And they were afraid, but look at the love and grace of God. The Lord came over and touched them and said, be not afraid. Because, they got carried away into their thinking. And so, listen, we have to stop and say, Lord, it's not what I think anymore. It's what your will is. And Lord, I need to call upon you that you might perform. You know, some people may not want God's will. Some people might be happy with their will. But here's the thing that I've learned. Our will is not the same as God's will. Even the disciples who were with the Lord for 3.5 years, their will was not the Lord's will, was it? Remember Peter? Peter told the Lord not to go to the cross. In fact, the Bible says that he took him and looked at him and said, that shall not be. And what did the Lord say to him? Oh, praise God, you had a better plan than me. No, what did he say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Because thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up. Oh, as great of an idea as we might think we have, it's not God's. And so, listen, is it God's plan? Is it God's plan to build his church? Is it God's plan to glorify himself in his church? All right, you and I are the church, not the building, right? And we've got to call upon the Lord to do it. We are not going to glorify the Lord in our thinking. We are not going to glorify the Lord in what we think ought to take place. We need to stop and say this, Lord, I don't know what to do. I need you to show me. That requires humility. Oh, listen, we can, and I've told you this many times, we can invite Dolly Parton here, and I would dare say we'd get a lot more people in here. Maybe not, I don't know. But anyway, we can invite some known group of a group or something like that, and somebody will come. Is that what God wants us to do? Is that for the glory of the Lord? No. Absolutely not. So what is it that God is asking for? What is it that he's calling for? Well, he's telling us right here. If my people, that's you and I, which are called by my name, again, that's you and I, shall humble themselves. That's the first thing God's asking for. For us to climb down and humble ourselves before the cross of Jesus. Amen? Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what? And pray. And pray. How engaged are we in prayer? Every prayer counts. Don't misunderstand me. But is God going to send revival with a 5-minute prayer, 10-minute prayer? Is that what we think? Is that really, is God not worthy of more of our time? Is God not worthy of more of our time? We just got 5 minutes for you today, God. You don't understand. I've got my plans. I've got all this stuff in the world that's going to get burned up. I've got all this to take care of. And God is not asking us not take care of it. But is God worthy enough for us to get up an extra hour earlier or 30 minutes or whatever you want to do? Is he worthy of our sleep? That's a sacrifice. Do you know that prayer, even this, follow this, listen, that our getting up out of sleep early will become a form of worship because we're saying, God, you are worth my time. Follow this, listen. For us to get up earlier, that is a form of worship. Lord, I am trusting you with this time. I am believing that you are honored, that I am honoring you. Whether you answer me or not, you are worthy of my time. Listen, what a wonderful testimony it would be for any child of God to get up an hour earlier to spend time with the Lord. Do you think God will appreciate that in eternity when we stand before him face to face? Or do you think it would be better for us maybe to pray hit and miss or give him 5-10 minutes here and there? Or do you think he'd be more honored and glorified by us having we would be dedicated to meet with God in prayer every day for whatever set time we have, but we meet with him every time saying, God, you are worthy just for your presence in my heart and mind, just to know that I'm standing before my Creator. Just the idea that I'm setting apart this time, I'm waking myself out of sleep, that I will come before the throne of God, and that I will spend and meditate and call upon him because you are worthy, my Creator and my Savior. Amen. You are worthy to do this, for me to do this and to sacrifice. That's putting wood on the altar, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Amen. That's us putting wood on the altar for the glory of the Lord and allowing the Lord to send the fire down to consume. And we're presenting ourselves, are we not? Before the Lord. There's no better way to do it. It's God's way. I'm not making this up. It's in the Word of God. Is God honored by prayer? Has God commanded prayer from his people? So are we serious? This is just between you and the Lord. Are we really serious? Or even better yet, do we want to be even more serious than whatever we've been in the past? This is the recipe for God's revival. Amen. The recipe for, and the right steps, by the way, for repentance and for revival. So he says here again, if my people which are called by my name, verse 14, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. If things aren't going right, listen, our nation has committed gross sins in our society. We have allowed things that God says are an abomination, and I'm not going to sugarcoat or smooth talk it. It is wrong in the sight of God. God did not make they and them. He made male and female. And that's just the way it rolls. Amen. We will all stand before the Lord. I want to stand on his side. Amen. Come what may. The world may not like it. And we might get in trouble for it. But I'd rather be in trouble with the world than in trouble from our God. Amen. I want to stand up with his truth. Listen, either we believe in the Word of God or we're playing games. And so God wants us to stand. And by the way, listen, God, forgive us as a nation. And for what we've allowed, listen, abortion is the murder of the unborn child. There's no other way to slice it. And it's wrong. And we thank the Lord that there's been some kind of moves toward the right direction, but we still allow it in our nation. And so we ought to say, Lord, help us, heal our land. We're wiping out the next generation. This is not right in your sight. And so he says this. Again, verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We have to acknowledge, Lord, a lot of wickedness has gone on, and maybe there's some wickedness that we've allowed. And I would dare say, and you decide this, neglecting our God is not holy. So if it's not, it's just one way, there's no gray area. It's white or black with the Lord. So if we've neglected our walk with the Lord, our calling upon him, I would dare say that's wickedness on my part. And Lord, I don't want to be wicked in your sight. Not that I'm committing wicked things, but my goodness, I've forsaken the altar of God. And so, Lord, I need to call upon you, and I need to be committed to that calling upon you. Listen, you know, one thing, if you were to ask the world, what do Christians do? I would dare say the world would say, well, they certainly go to church. I would think they would say they read their Bibles, and I believe they would say, and they pray to their God. Amen. Or at least that ought to be the mark, amen, and the testimony of every believer. So he says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's God's promise. That's what God wants to do. So here's what we find. Seeking the face of God, turning from our wicked ways, this is how we create the condition for God to work in our lives personally. We can create the condition for anything. Listen, God says, if you'll seek me, you'll what? By seeking the Lord, we have created the condition that God has commanded to find the Lord, have we not? But likewise also, by not praying and by not seeking the Lord, we have also created the condition to not receive the answers and the blessings of the Lord. So when we seek the Lord, we are creating the condition for God to work in our lives personally. And that's what's important. God doesn't want us to make a commitment to pray, but he wants us to seek the one who is our strength. This is a shift in purpose. See, if anything, if I say, well, Lord, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to pray. We'll fail every time. Here's what happens. We'll do it for a little while and we'll say, you know, today I'm kind of tired. I don't have time. I'll pray later. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And what happens the next day? I'll do it tomorrow. Because the focus is on ourselves instead of God. Instead of looking at him, instead of making it about him, then we need to shift the purpose. Lord, the purpose is you are worthy regardless. You are worthy of my time. And my purpose for prayer is to get in before your presence. And to honor and glorify you. It's about you, Lord, not my needs. It's about you. And so as we do that, we shift the purpose, and this brings us to the place where we realize that every prayer touches our Creator and that he delights in his people calling upon him. Isn't that what the Bible says? He tells us he delights in that. This makes even getting out of bed, again, a time of worship and prayer. Beginning in the morning, wouldn't that be the best place to start worship? In the beginning of our day, before we go out into the world that is calling and pawing for every moment of our mind and time. God wants us to follow after him. Notice the Lord's focus here. Look at verse 16. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house. Do you see what the Lord's looking at? By the way, where's the temple today? We're the temple. So the Lord is looking. This is what the Lord is doing. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. We don't have to go very far, do we? The Lord is right there. If we're a born-again believer, if we've been saved by the grace of God, he indwells us, does he not? Isn't that what the Bible says? Yeah, amen. We're indwelt by the Lord. And so this is the Lord's focus. He's about his church. He's about his people. And by the way, notice what he says here, verse 16. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and that mine eyes, let's notice this, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there how long? Perpetually. Always. Always. That's God's word, not mine. And that's what he wants us to do. Now, you don't have to hold your place here, but let me call your attention to the book of Revelation just for a moment. And let me, Revelation chapter 3. And very quickly, I need to show you something very important. And that's a word of warning to the church before the rapture in the end days. This is what the church is going to be like, or has the potential to be like. Look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. It doesn't have to be this way. But boy, oh boy, we see a lot of it taking place. I mean, we're just too busy, and here's why. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God, of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Now, we have to decide if that's us or not. Are you really on fire for the Lord? Are you really telling people about the Lord? Are you calling on him in prayer? Then you don't need this. If you got it all set, you don't need this. Or maybe you do and don't realize it. Because this church thought they were what it was. I pray. Yeah, but what kind of prayer is it? Well, I tell people about the Lord, but in what way? Is it what it's in our hearts and what's in our minds? Is it what God is doing in our lives? And by the way, are people being saved? If not, that we ought to call upon the Lord. Lord, we want people to be saved. We don't want to just tell them it's wonderful, tell them and spread the gospel, but we want results, amen? Because God has promised results. If he be lifted up, he would draw all men unto himself. And so notice this, he says, verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And some people would say, Brother George, would you say that about Northwood Baptist Church? I would dare say that about every church, that our hearts might be on fire for the Lord and not get to this place where we say, we're all right just the way we are. Are you all right just the way you are? You think you're ready to stand before the Lord today? Do you really believe that? Or maybe you might say, oh, I think there's some things I could probably give to the Lord and straighten out a little bit better that I might stand right. Are we ashamed to say, Lord, I need you to a greater extent? Or do we want to say, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Are we pretty good? Are we just what we need to be? Some people might say, well, maybe this is something you ought to be teaching to new believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Word of God, some of the Word of God is for old believers and some of the Word of God is for new believers. Is that how it works? Or is all Scripture given to us? Does it ever get too old? God wants us to be concerned. Because if we're not, then we're apathetic to the things of God and unconcerned. So he says, I wish you were cold or hot. Verse 16, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I would spew thee out of my mouth. Why? Because thou sayest, I am rich, sitting pretty good, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And notice what the Lord says, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. God is saying this. You don't even know how you look in my eyes. Oh, listen, the world, do we want the accolades and the praise of the world or of God? Then I would dare say we should be able to do business with the Lord, amen? We need the Lord. I would dare say that all of us need the Lord. I will say I need the Lord more in my life than ever before. And I want the Lord more in my life than ever before. Do you? I want the Lord. I believe you do. And so he says, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. And they didn't even know it. But look at the mercy of God. Listen to the word of God today. Here's what he's saying today to his local New Testament church. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Would you dare say that is a message for every one of God's churches? Do you think there's any church of God today on planet Earth that prays too much? Do you think there's any church on planet Earth that tells people about the Lord too much? Do you think there's any person on planet Earth that has ever come to the place where they think they're doing too much for God or enough? Listen, you read after the 1,500 and 1,600 preachers that were praying 2 and 3 and 4 and 6 hours every day. And you know what they were saying? I need to give more to the Lord. Is that us today? They were turning continents upside down for the glory of God. I wonder why. And we're just sitting back and saying, well, man, I think I'm pretty good. Where are the souls? They would get together and there would be 20,000 gathered together. I'm talking to myself as well, by the way. I'm not preaching at you. I'm listening to the Lord. I'm included. I'm included. Lord, where are the souls? And he's saying, look right to yourself and your relationship with me. Because you'll find when things were happening amongst the people of God in the Lord's church, the people of God were engaged. It was their life. Christ was first, and their relationship was first. When our nation was started, many of the founding fathers that were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who had some wealth, they had wealth, and they would tell their children. They said, "You know, if I gave you all my wealth when I die, and you had not the Lord Jesus Christ, I would have done you a disservice, and you'd have been the poorest person on planet Earth. But if I had no wealth to give you and gave you the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd be the wealthiest person on planet Earth." Do we believe that today? Do we want that today? Let's seek it. Amen. Let's seek it. Watch this. Verse 18, he says, I counsel thee. He's counseling us today. Is God's word eternal? Past, present, futures apply today? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Listen to this. As many as I love, does God love you and I? Yes. Absolutely. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore. Praise God. Amen. That you're opening up my eyes and repent. Lord, revive in me. Put a fire in this cold heart for your honor and glory. Behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. This morning, is he knocking? Only you can. He's knocking. Whether we hear or not, that's another story. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he will sup with me, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the what? That's today. That's us, isn't it? God's saying, I'm speaking today. Can you hear me? I'm calling today. Can you hear me? Do you want what I have to offer? And I want you to see something here. And this is the last mention of the church before the bride of Christ, before the tribulation really gets started. And this is why I personally believe that the church is raptured out before the tribulation period begins. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. After this, right after he spoke to the churches, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. That's the rapture. The church is out. And now the focus is on Jacob, Israel, and turning him back to the Lord, and the tribulation, the judgment of the world. Amen? And so where are we at? Today, we're at the end days, amen? We're the church that may have grown cold. I would say it would be safe to say we need more fire. I didn't say the fire was out. God didn't say the fire was out, but it's grown cold. And it could use a reviving, we would say a revival, wouldn't you? Would you like to see God glorifying himself in and through our lives and people being saved, baptized, and discipled and added here to Northwood Baptist Church? Then we can't do the same thing and expect a different turnout, can we? We can't just go along like we've been going along. We have to say, Lord, do something more in my life than before. I don't want to be the same. I want you to change me. Give me a heart, Lord, to make a sacrifice of my sleep. You decide between you and the Lord what that time frame, that I will sacrifice my sleep. Are you willing to do that? Or is your sleep more value? It might be, I don't know. I hope not. Maybe I'd be willing, you know, to give God 30 minutes. And to whatever degree that sacrifice is. To some it may not be a problem, to some it might be a big problem. But I believe God will honor it that way, don't you? If you give God more, will he not bless you more? Absolutely. And if we give of ourselves, isn't that what he's asked for? Present yourselves a living sacrifice. So this morning, God has given to us the right steps of repentance for revival, if that's what we want. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we do thank you for your mercy and your grace and another opportunity, Lord, to seek you and to walk with you and to call upon you, that you might work in us like maybe never before. Lord, may you speak to hearts as only you can, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.